Well, we're going to continue on with our our Christmas story. We started with willing hearts to bring forth the gift, faithful hearts to complete the race, and joyful hearts share the gift. If you want to open up your Bibles to Luke 2. I sang my voice out today. That's okay, right? Sing it out for Jesus. Thank you. Okay. Luke 2, I'm so excited about what God is doing. It's just, if you can't feel his presence this morning, you come talk to me after church, because it is all over this place today. Whew. In verse 8 of chapter 2 of Luke, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified." I love this. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them." Joyful hearts share the gift. How many times has something incredible happened in your life? And what was the first thing that you did after praising the Lord? You got on the phone, or you went to talk to somebody. You had to let it out, right? You had to share this amazing thing that happened in your life. The Bible says that the angel told the shepherds that it was good news to all people. But the shepherds only told one people, right? They only told the shepherds. That was all the angels told, was just the shepherds. So how did all people find out? The shepherds. Someone had to be a vehicle to bring forth the word that, hey, a baby was born in this town, and guess what? He is the Savior of the world. How do you know? Sit down and let me tell you. We were out there in the dark, and all of a sudden there was a great light. Something changed in our lives. We went from darkness to light. From darkness to light. How many people know that if that is all that happened, that was a praise right there. From darkness to light. If that's all you have to testify about today, that you were in darkness and you've been brought to light, do you know that that is enough? That is enough right there. Just that you have been brought into the light. And that they were so afraid. I love what God does first and foremost. He deals with the initial problem. Don't be afraid. It doesn't matter what your family thinks. It doesn't matter what your friends think. It doesn't matter what your circumstances look like. I have brought light into your life, and that is what you need. Right there. Don't be afraid. So they stop being afraid, and then what happens? Heavenly hosts are around them. Do you know that heavenly hosts are around you all day long? He says he will command his angels concerning you. Woo! You can walk anywhere, and his host of angels are with you. And I love it. What are they doing? They are praising God. And I don't know about you, but when it's a catchy tune, which I'm sure this was because it was a heaven-sent tune, I'm guessing those angels threw down their staffs and began praising and worshiping with the angels. Because when there is an anointing, you can't help yourself. I'm sure there was dancing and rejoicing. They might not have even known why, but they were in on this because this was a holy, amazing thing. Light had come to them. An answer had arrived. And I love it. Afterwards, all of a sudden, everything disappears. And they're left standing there, looking at each other. Now, we saw that, right? That thing really happened, right? There was a big light, right? You saw the angel, right? Yeah, me too. Okay, so let's go see this thing which they said. And what do? They go. they go. You can see the light, revelation can come to you, but this next step is you got to go. You got to get yourself to where Jesus is, right? You got to get yourself in a real church, Bible-believing church, and get in there and get plugged in. Why? Because you got to be where Jesus is at. And they went and they saw the babe just like the angels had said. So they went from one joy to the next joy of actually seeing what the angels had said they would see. Can you imagine being told you're going to see something and you go and it's there exactly like you were told? Has anybody ever had that happen to them? I have. Or if a little tell you, go here and do this and you'll see this. And you go and you do and you see and you're like, whoa, God, you are awesome. You are awesome. And what is the very first thing that they do after they leave Jesus? They go tell. Now think about this for a second. What time of day is it? It's night. It's nighttime. Early morning. So after they go see the baby Jesus, they go tell. Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! I got news for you. You have been out with the sheep too long. No, 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 no. I got news for you. Jesus is here. The angels told us. They're telling everyone. Like Pastor Steve said today, you have something to tell people. You have good news for them. This isn't just an old story. This is a new story that every morning you wake up, those mercies are new every morning. Every morning. Joyful hearts, tell people. They go out and they share the news. Not just when you get a financial blessing. That is an awesome place to share the news. But share the news that, you know what, you woke up this morning and God is on the throne and he is able to take care of everything in your life and he's able to take care of everything in their lives. You don't serve a wimpy, short, boxed in God. He is more than able. More than able. More than able. I heard an amazing story today on EMIC that I had to share, and it fits in perfect with this. Because so often we feel like, well, what do I have to give to people? You have everything to give to people today. What you have to share is Jesus. And there was a story about a very wealthy man who lived on the East Coast, and he had a wife and a son, and then his wife passed away, and it was just him and his son, and they both loved art. And so they were connoisseurs, they were collecting, and that's what they spent a lot of his wealth on, was that. And then there was a war, and his son was called up and sent out. And the father grieved for his son, his only son. And the story goes on to say that he got word that his son died in battle. And he was just, everything that had been precious to him was gone. And about a few weeks later, he got a knock on his door, and he went to the front door, and there was a man standing there, a young man in uniform, and he said, "Sir, you don't know me, but I was with your son the day he died, and he died saving my life. And I'm an artist, and I've brought to you this portrait of your son." And the dad was overwhelmed with joy. This was almost an identical replica of what his son looked like. It was such a treasure to him, and he thanked the young man, and he took it immediately into his home, and he cleared off the mantle where all the other beautiful paintings, expensive paintings were, and he put his son's picture up there. And a few years later, he passed away. He was widely known for his art collection, so when the auction time came to divide up the estate, there was a big auction, and people came from all over the world because his collection was so extensive. And the auctioneer started the auction with the portrait of his son. And he said, "Who will give me $100 for this?" Everybody looked at each other. Nobody raised their hand. Nobody offered anything. And he said, "100? Anybody, anything?" Someone from the crowd said, "We're not here for that picture. Just get on to the next one." And the auctioneer said, "No, there was a note in the will that this picture had to be sold first before we could continue." And a man way back in the back said, "Sir, I don't have much. I just have $10. But I knew that young man, and I knew his dad, and I would like to purchase it." The auctioneer took his gavel and said, "Sold for $10 to the man in the back." Everybody assumed that the auction would continue, but the auctioneer began putting everything away. And people got angry, and they said, "Wait a minute, what are you doing? What's going on? We want to buy these pictures." And he said, "The note also included this saying, 'Whoever takes my son gets everything.'" Whoever takes my son gets it all. And today, you have a heavenly Father who's saying to you, "If you'll take my son, you got it all." Who did the angels go to? Did they wake up the highest people in the land? The people with all the money? In the nicest homes? No. The Bible calls them lowly shepherds. That's who the angels went to. The guys who had $10, not 100. But I love how the Lord does things, because it shows us you don't have to be the best. You don't have to be the greatest. You just have to be willing to accept the Son. And if you'll accept the Son, oh my, your hearts will be filled with joy and overflowing. Because guess what? You get it all. The healing, the salvation, the prosperity, the peace, the joy, the hope, everything, everything in here is yours. Joyful hearts. Don't ever think when you run into someone who doesn't know about Jesus that you don't have something to say to them. You have something. Can I tell you about the peace that I have in my life? Can I tell you about the joy that I have? But you got problems. No. Can I tell you about the hope that I have? Can I tell you about the Son? He's available to you. And if you'll take him, you'll get it all as well. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Joyful hearts. God, our hearts are so filled with your joy today. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And Father, we want to be like that young man in the back that says, "I'll give everything I have. I want that." And Father, I thank you and I praise you that in your love and your grace and your amazing kindness, your response to us is, "Okay, then you get it all." Father, I pray during these next few weeks, as there is this window of opening of hearts around the Christmas season, Father, that we would take every opportunity to share Jesus. Every opportunity. Whether it means buying the car behind us a Starbucks, or giving a tip to a waitress, or smiling and thanking the lady at the cash register who's had nasty person after nasty person after nasty person arguing and yelling at her. Let us be the light. Let us be the difference. And when someone says, "Wow, thank you. How can you be so nice?" Let me tell you about the Son. Let me tell you about the one who can give you everything you need. Help us to share the good news with everyone we come in contact with. And Father, I pray for every heart in this room that might have walked into here heavy. Let your joy be their strength today. That is something that cannot be taken away from us. Our happiness comes and goes, but our joy is from you and you alone. And that is our strength today. And we just praise you and we thank you that joyful hearts will share the gift. Let us share the gift of you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Boy, what a powerful time of worship. And, you know, our giving is part of worship, right? Amen. We're worshiping God with our giving too. Praise the Lord. And what a powerful story that is. If we take the Son, we get it all. Amen. What a great illustration. Amen. Well, we can go ahead, I think, and dismiss the kids this morning. To us today, we receive it all. Somebody just again say, I receive it all today. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I enjoy Christmas commercials. Even commercials this time of the year can be entertaining, right? And one of the ones I like is the grown man that's waking up to look out the window to see if there's a Mercedes in the driveway, right? And I think it goes through his childhood, and he's expecting, you know, whatever, his car or whatever. And so he's not, now he's got a grown-up toy, right? The Benz is out in the driveway, right? And don't you know, we can never, you know, we have a big God. We have a big, big God with big, big blessings. Amen. And so, but our hearts need to be open to receive from him. Amen. Religion tells you that's too much. But God says, why aren't you asking more? Is that all you want? Is that all you're believing for, right? It's amazing how many people will choke up on the prosperity message, right? Not choke up like, but choke up like, what? Well, guess what it takes to preach the gospel around the world? Money, right? Amen. And so, you know, NBC is preaching the gospel. ABC is preaching their gospel. CNN is preaching their gospel because they got the money, right? And so we can, in the same way, believe God to take over. You know, the devil is called the prince of the power of the air. And how does TV, internet, all that come? Over the air, right? So with Jesus, you and me, we can begin to take dominion in a lot, and many are. That's why we sow into ministries that are preaching the gospel around the world. And you know, somebody created the internet to preach the gospel on, right? Facebook, all these platforms, and television, and all these things. And just in the house of God itself, right? We need to be using these platforms to minister and preach the gospel. But the prosperity message is a big part of the gospel that gets ignored, that people get mad about. Somebody say, not me. Some just say, Lord, lay it on me. I receive it. If you accept the Son, all the rest is yours too. All of heaven belongs to you. Amen. Praise God. This is so good. But 1 Peter chapter 1, if you want to turn there, has been our foundation text for this message. We're continuing on the message, the enduring joy of Christmas. Somebody say, I have the enduring joy of Christmas. Amen. Say that. I have the enduring joy of Christmas. And again, this title up on the screen, if you're listening later, you can't see it, but we'll tell you about it. It says the enduring joy of Christmas, but you could look at it and you could read enduring the joy of Christmas, right? And many people, that's where they live. I'm just putting up with the holidays. I can't wait till it's over. Get me out of this, right? But we need to be people that embrace the joy of Christmas. And the joy of Christmas is not, you know, a present under the tree. It's the gift that hung on the tree. Amen. All the decorations should remind us and point us to Jesus. Amen. There's a lot of believers will say, oh, Christmas trees are pagan. Well, it may have started that way. It just means worldly, whatever, right? But to me, a Christmas tree reminds me that the gift of God came to the world, Jesus, and the lights on the tree remind me Jesus is the light of the world. The gifts remind us that Jesus is the gift of God. Amen, right? So these things point us to Jesus. But the joy of Christmas is, you know, again, going back to the Grinch. How the Grinch stole Christmas. And don't you know, the devil is the one who comes to do what? What's on his to-do list today, like right now? Steal? Kill and destroy. Well, if he can steal the word out of your life, then he has access to kill and destroy, right? The first thing he does is steal. And that's really cool. My son Luke put a Bible in the manger this year, and it's open to the book of Luke. I think the passage that Shelley just read in Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. And I love that. I don't know if I've ever seen that illustration done where a Bible is in the manger. But Jesus is the living word of God. Amen. And so He is the one who's here with us. But that joy of Christmas, somebody say, there's an old gospel song. Maybe not all that old, but this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, right? Macy's didn't give it to me, right? iTunes didn't give it to me, right? Uncle Joe didn't give it to me, so Uncle Joe can't take it away. Amen? So we just rejoice, and we have to remind ourselves to rejoice and be joyful. Amen? But the enduring joy of Christmas is the idea that this joy keeps going. You don't pack it up with the decorations on December 26th. Amen? We let the joy of the Lord continue to be our strength. Amen? But 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, I'll get there here, says this. Aha, there we are. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, somebody say, thank you, Lord, for your mercy, right? It's a great reason to be joyful. You have mercy. Has anybody ever needed mercy? And I love that word, abundant mercy. Amen. More than enough. I think there's a couple reasons why people don't turn to Jesus. Maybe they love their whatever they're doing, but a lot of people think they're too bad. Church ain't for me. If I show up, it'll burn down. Well, that's a lie from the devil, right? Abundant mercy. We have the God of abundant mercy. Other people think, well, I ain't all that bad. I don't need church. I've never killed anybody. I've never robbed from anybody. Well, guess what you need for your pride? Abundant mercy. Amen. Turn to Jesus, right? He has begotten us again to a living hope. There's living hope today. Wherever we're at in our life, we ought to be in a place of hope, looking for Jesus, right? Isn't it great to know heaven is at the end of this thing? And so if we're on our way to heaven, anybody ever seen The Wizard of Oz? We're off to see and follow the yellow brick road. And it gets, you know, all of a sudden, there's the Emerald City, right? We're on our way to heaven. We need to remind ourselves of that. Amen? And there's a rapture coming. We need to encourage. The Bible says, encourage yourselves, each other, with these words, right? But guess what? There's hope for today. Just like there's hope for heaven, there's hope for heaven on earth, too. Amen? The blessing of God in this place. Lacey showed me on vacation, I think it was. We were at the coast. You showed me a picture on Instagram of a white moose. I have never seen a white moose. I thought, is that a trick? No, there's actually a white moose, apparently, somewhere. And I thought, my first thought was, are things beginning to manifest on this planet? Because you know what? This planet is going to change, man. Wouldn't it be cool if all of a sudden, you know, there's something that nobody's ever seen before, never discovered before? Why? Because heaven is moving to earth. And there's a place called heaven, but there's a city coming out of heaven. Revelation, right? Praise God. So we ought to be looking for more glorious. Somebody say more glorious, right? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible. Somebody say, I have an inheritance. And it's incorruptible, man, right? That's glorious. And Jesus died so you can receive your inheritance now. Praise the Lord. And undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So guess what's going to be revealed in the last time? Better and better, nicer and newer. Amen. You walking in the blessing is increasing. I love that second verse of Joy to the World. As far as the curse is found, the blessing, somebody say, the blessing is taking over. The blessing of God is taking over, and the light of God is driving out the darkness. Amen? Glory to God, right? In this you greatly rejoice. Amen, right? And that's not confined to December, right? This is all year long. All our life long, we greatly rejoice in these things. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what are we looking for every day? We're looking for the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm looking for Jesus today. I'm looking for him to show up today. Amen? And one day we'll physically see him show up, right? But today it might be some sort of healing, some sort of, sometimes the most, like the other day I came to the building in the middle of the week to pick up something that wasn't working and take it back to the store. And I walked in this room, and there's like two other guys in this building that aren't even with our church. I walk in this room, and I wasn't even thinking about it. And it's like I walked into a wall of the glory. I mean, literally, I walked in this room, and it just overtook me. And it almost went to my knees. It was like God is in this room. You know, what was that? That was a revelation of Jesus right there in the middle of my day. And I just felt overwhelmed by his goodness, by his presence, by his power, by his name, right? And it just overwhelmed me. It was a revelation of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And it brought me joy and encouragement because of some of the things we're going through with the building right now. And who cares? It's God's stuff. But it just reminded me, wow. The Lord is doing some wonderful things. Amen. Whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So putting the joy on is a choice to rejoice, right? Amen. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Praise the Lord. So sometimes we just got to talk to our soul. You know, our soul is the place of decision. You got born again, your spirit man is born again, but your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions need to be reminded, hey soul, just read Psalms. David talks to his soul a lot. Soul, why are you so depressed? Come on, soul, catch up with the spirit man. We are happy today, soul. Everything is going to be all right, soul. Rejoice in the Lord, soul. And soul, I'm going to turn off the news now and turn on some praises. Soul, I'm going to turn off the crime TV, you know, whatever it is, movies that are full of, you know, cussing and fear and blood and gore and perversions, and I'm turning on Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. If we watch 16 hours a week of, you know, adultery and witchcraft and violence, soul, why are you so depressed? Well, no, we got to turn the light on. Amen. Somebody say, turn the light on and keep it on. Amen. Turn to the light. Today, Lane, my kids are such a blessing, but Lane today said, Dad, can we turn those lights? Because they're all pointed at the wall, right? Because they used to have things in here with the school. We thought, you know what? Yes. So we can have the worship with different lighting. So we pointed one at the flags, and we pointed a couple at the manger, and we pointed a couple at Shelly and the worship over there. How cool, man. What did we do? We turned the light. So we just got to remember to turn to the light. Amen? If we're focused on nasty stuff, right, negative stuff, fear, worry, strife, who's not here today, if I'm focused on empty seats, I'm missing you. Amen. And that is stupid. Stupid. Amen. If I look at a seat and I see dollar signs in a business I was part of for a while, a business networking group, great group, by the way, good people. But every seat was attached to a dollar sign. If you're not here in our business meeting, $700 didn't show up today. And there's ministers that treat people like that. Amen. That's not good, right? So it's what we focus on. What are we looking at? So we turn ourselves to the light, amen? This is so glorious, so glorious. And what does that do? It brings great joy to me to turn the light on. Today when we prayed over you and you got ignited, your faith got refreshed, you are a flame of God. And guess what? When you go home, when you go to work this week, when you're at school this week, people will feel attracted to it or repelled by it. Amen? Because it'll either shine in their eyes and they'll be like, oh, you know, you look at Mount Sinai. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, they had to put a veil over his face because he had been with God in God's presence for like 6 weeks. And he was so bright that they couldn't look at him. And sometimes you'll come out and somebody's all heavy and, you know, full of gossip and strife and worry and cares. And you'll, hey, Merry Christmas, like George Bailey, right? Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter. Merry Christmas to you in jail. Well, amen. Sometimes the light might be an irritant. Amen. You go into a bar today and turn the light on, people are going, oh, right? Demons don't like lights. In pest control, cockroaches don't like light. That's why the greatest tool of a pest control guy is what, Randy? A flashlight. A red flashlight. That's a new one. There you go. So it's stealth, right? You shine the light, man. But we got to watch as believers that we don't use the light of God like a Jedi lightsaber to hack people's heads off, right? No, the light is to point on to Jesus, point them to Jesus, point them to Jesus. And many will come to you and feel attracted to the light, warmth. Oh, I'm so cold in my heart. This is warm. What is it that you got? Those kids that come to you, Lindsay, that's what they're feeling. Man, I'm frigid in my heart. And this kid in my class, there's something about her. I just got to, even if I don't like it, I have to know what it is. And then we don't use the light to say, repent, you sinner. No, we just say, hey, guess what? It's Jesus you're attracted to. I was on a road trip once all the way up north somewhere on a pest control job, and I got to this lady's house. I'd been worshiping God the whole way there, just listening to praise music. I got there and she said, you're glowing. What is it? I said, I've been praising God all the way here, ma'am. And she changed the subject immediately. She did not want to talk about that. But I told her, maybe planted a seed. Amen. See, with Christians, we can't be people that feel like we got to close the deal, man. Either you bow down and get saved right now, and that'll happen. Praise God. But we just shine the light. Jesus told people, just go tell people what God has done for you. Let the Holy Ghost do the converting. Amen? He's better at it than us, right? But we tell people the goodness of God, that it's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. Praise the Lord. Especially people that knew us before Jesus. Because they'll be like, what in the world are you on? He's called Jesus. Yeah, but remember how we used to do this and that? Like Jesse, you know, Jesse Duplantis. He'll say, yeah, I killed that guy. He's dead. Welcome to the new me. Born again me. On fire for Jesus. I used to be on fire for chasing women. Now I'm on fire for Jesus. I used to be on fire for alcohol and drugs and whatever that was, you know. But now I'm on fire for Jesus. Burning brightly. Praise God, right? Amen. But again, the words in here in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. These are reasons to be joyful, because somebody say, I have an inheritance, right? Heirship, I have possessions. I have possessions that are mine. That's why don't let anybody, whoever they are, talk you out of the blessing of God for your life. Why? Because it's yours. That thing you're believing for belongs to you. Amen. Right? Incorruptible, which means undecaying, not corruptible, immortal. We talked last week about Jesus when he rose again. He still has a physical body, but his body is not decaying. It is not growing old. And guess where your faith is? In him. So you're believing God for things that are undecaying, not corruptible, immortal. Heaven's better. Somebody say, no matter how good it gets here on earth, heaven will be better. Amen? So God doesn't care about me enjoying nice things in my life. He does get concerned when things have you. When somebody's not in church because, well, I got to polish my boat. Well, Amen. I got so much work that I had to start working Sundays. No, you put God first. Amen. Not stuff. And stuff is there. A lot of times God will tell you, you know, that Porsche that you inherited, enjoy it for a while, but then I'm going to have you sow it to this missionary over here who doesn't believe me for nothing and tell them how good I am. Right? So in other words, that's a joy, man. Now you're sowing a blessing and reaping more and increasing. Amen. But the stuff doesn't have you. The stuff belongs to you. Amen. Praise God. And undefiled means unsoiled, pure. It also means alpha, the first. Amen. The first. Don't ever feel like, you know, religion will make us feel like we're distant from God. And you have to have this man or this woman or this organization tell you what to do. Right? But you are, if Jesus is Lord of your life, you are a first generation believer. You are royalty. Royalty. Because you, like Shelley shared that story, that's exactly right. You accepted the gift of God's only son. That makes you a son or daughter. Directly. Somebody say directly. Directly. You are directly connected. You are the seed of Abraham. Amen. You are Jesus' blood brother. He's Lord and King of your life, but you are royalty in God. Amen? So we meditate on these things and we focus on these things. What doesn't fade means perpetual, unfading. See, what we're that's why we're talking about enduring joy, unfading joy, perpetual joy, the best joy. So many this time of year are going to look for joy in a bottle, or joy in a, you know, a drug, or joy in a new relationship. I enjoy the Hallmark movies, but 99% of them have to do with finding a new relationship. Well, I mean, a lot of romances are like that, right? Well, I'll tell you what, I've been married for 19 years almost, and the flame is strong. That woman loves me. And I love her, amen? But this enduring joy, not always looking for something new, right? Not always starting over. And Shelley shared that word last week that Spencer Nordyke shared with Eagle Mountain. And he said, there's somebody out there and you feel like maybe you're going to have to start over. And he said, that's the big thing with America, Americans, trailblazers, right? We're starting over. He said, remember this, because that was my heart. I said, Lord, we're going through this season in our life. If we have to start over, we'll start over. I'm willing to start over. And he corrected me. He said, you know what? You don't have to start over. You have harvest. You have fields. You have seed. You're not starting over. Wow. What a great word that was. Amen. So for you, right? Whatever you've been going through and feeling like it's lost, you're not starting over. You just pick it up. You just pick it up and keep your faith plugged in. Amen. And the word enduring means sustain without impairment or yielding, to continue to exist, to last. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. The devil, you just got to start talking trash to the trash talker. You know what, sickness? You know what, depression? I'm going to outlast you. I don't care if you've been here as long as I can remember thinking a thought. That's only, for me, 48 years, almost 47 and a half years. Guess how long God's been around, devil. And guess where you're ending up, devil? You're the one who should be depressed and full of sorrow and fear, and your stomach should be in knots, not mine, because you're a liar. You're going to spend eternity in the pit, devil. And you start trash talking him. I'm going to outlast you. I love, you know, the Rocky movies, if you've seen them. I think it's part two where Apollo, the champ, arrogant, right? And this newcomer, Rocky Balboa, guy off the streets of Philadelphia with a heart of gold, right? And he just keeps getting back up. He just won't stay down. And Christians have to have that in our heart that, you know what, I refuse to stay down. Amen. I'm getting back up. And what are you going to do? You're going to outlast him. We are going to outlast the enemy. Outrun him. right? Outthink him. What did David take to Goliath? 5 smooth stones. Find something in the word and say, I'm standing on this rock. I'm not going to be moved from what God's word says in this area of my life. People of the word. Those are the people that last. The joy will last in you. The peace, the blessings of God will last you if you are a person of God's word. You ever heard the term gym rat? What guy's a gym rat? He's always in the gym. I was yesterday at the store, and I saw the CrossFit people, man. It's 35 degrees, and there's these young mother-looking people, young ladies, and, you know, they've got a medicine ball, and they're running down the street. Gym rat, right? I'm at Safeway getting, I think, something sweet probably, and they're out there. They're running down the street, right? Well, we have to be word rats. People that refuse to leave the word. Stay in it. Stay at it. Reading it, studying it, and listening to it preached. Amen? Praise the Lord. And what will you do? You will outlast the issue. That issue's got nothing on you. You're on fire for Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, to continue enduring, to continue to exist, to last, to suffer without yielding. I will not yield. How do we yield to the enemy? With our words is a big way, right? Well, I guess I'll never get over this. Well, I guess this has got me. Well, this will probably kill me. Going to die of something. Listen, we got to tell ourselves to shut up. Sometimes say what God says. Jesus is the defense attorney. And the devil is the prosecuting attorney. He points the finger at you. Jesus points you to the word and says, say only what I tell you to say. Do not agree with the prosecutor, even if it sounds like you did that, you thought that, you said that. Do not shake your head in agreement or say, yes, that is true, Your Honor. You can plead the blood. Ever heard plead the fifth? I plead the blood, Your Honor. My defense attorney will take it from here. I plead innocent. And that will throw the devil into a fit, right? Well, let him have a fit. It's his fit. You're free. Amen? The light of God is on the inside of you. You're going to outlast him. You got to have that attitude. Listen, I'm going to outlast you, devil. Amen. I'm going to change how I talk. I'm going to change how I walk. Amen. I'm going to change my focus. I'm turning the light. I'm turning the light onto things that I need to be focusing on and off of things I need to get my eyes off of. Keeping my eyes on the Lord. Amen. Well, in your notes, the next chapter is Luke 1, but I want to look at something else this morning before we go there. I want to read to you something that I got off a website called TorahTots.com. It's a messianic website, but everything that's happening right now with Hanukkah is so symbolic and significant of what we're talking about today and what's happening with Christmas and all these things. But a lot of the church just doesn't know these things, and they're not super hard to understand, the basics, okay? But I'm going to read to you something, a little history lesson here. And it says this. The year was about 165 BCE. A large group of men led by Judah the Maccabee climbed to the top of a mountain overlooking Jerusalem. It was the same mountain from which many centuries later the Crusaders would launch their attack against the Muslims and from which the Jordanian artillery would shell Jerusalem in 1967. In 165 BC, however, so we're talking about, 165 years before Jesus' birth. So there is a Pastor Greg did a great job of teaching this morning. He talked about the fall feasts and then the spring feasts in the Bible and how significant they are. But there's another feast called the Festival of Lights that is not referred to in the Old Testament. But Jesus, there's a chapter in John somewhere that talks about Jesus going to the winter feast, the Festival of Lights. He was celebrating Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights. Amen. So these things are significant. Amen. In 165 BC, Judah and his men, with the help of Hashem, which is, you know, God I'm talking about, were about to complete a great victory, a triumph that lives on as the miracle of Hanukkah. So this time of the year, man, think miracles. Miracles. And I'm not talking about make-a-wish kind of miracles. I'm not talking about genies. I'm talking about God. And all through the year, this is a perpetual thing. But this time of the year reminds us to be believing God for these things, right? After the death of Alexander the Great, conqueror of the world and friend of the Jewish people. So Alexander the Great was not an anti-Semitic leader. He was a good connection with the Jews. His empire was divided among his generals. Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, the kingdom of Judea, and was added to the empire of Antiochus III. Now, Antiochus III, that might actually be the fourth. Yeah. Antiochus IV was basically Adolf Hitler. Just a devil in flesh, right? And when Antiochus Epiphanes became king of the Syrian Greeks, he was not content to accept the taxes and loyalty of the Jews as his predecessors had done. He wanted the Jews to lay aside their Torah, an ancient religion, and their place substitute the Hellenistic Greek culture and Grecian idols. King Antiochus bore down on his Jewish subjects with a measure of ruthlessness, stubbornness, and cruelty that earned him the nickname Antiochus the Madman. Jews who dared to remain loyal to their faith were brutally tortured and murdered. Horrible, awful stuff happened, you know, under this man's leadership. Against this backdrop, Jewish resistance began to ebb, and it seemed inevitable that the last remnants of resistance would soon be wiped out. See, again, that light being snuffed out. The devil has always had a thing about killing the Jews, right? He hates them, right? Then one courageous old man turned the tide. Somebody say, one courageous old man. Amen. See, all you got to do is put your courage in God. Doesn't matter how old you are, right? And one man, one woman that will stand up to the devil, look out, right? His name was Mattathias, which I think is Matthew, and he was a Kohen, head of the Hasmonean family. With the rallying cry of this man, it was Mi La Hashem Ali, which means, whoever is for Hashem, let him come to me. He drew a line in the sand. Whoever's with God, come on over here. Look, they're already killing us. Let's get after it. Amen? Let him come to me. He called the people to rebellion. A pitifully small number responded at first. Don't you know it ain't how small God, it's about how big he is. Amen? A pitifully small number responded at first. The people were numb with fear and hopelessness. Man, does that sound like the day we're living in now spiritually, right? But Matthew's five sons led the way. They fought the Syrian Greeks, retreated to the mountains, and began a guerrilla war against the Syrian Greeks and their Jewish allies. Matthew had not long to live, but on his deathbed, he charged his sons to carry on the struggle. The glorious brothers heeded his command. He passed on leadership to his second son, Judah the Maccabee, who was a mighty warrior and a charismatic leader. Many miracles happened. Somebody say praise God, right? With God, man, miracles. He didn't stop doing miracles. Amen. Outnumbered 100-1, Judah and his men won many battles. Jews came to join him. In a few years, he had defeated the mightiest armies of Syria. Victory belonged to the Jew, the pure, the righteous, the loyal defender of the Torah. Following the rebellion, the kingdom of Israel was restored for 200 years. Praise God. Till about the time when Jesus died. Amen. Didn't Jesus say that? Walking through the town. You guys see all these stones? Ain't one going to be left. So, right? But this was a significant victory, and it became a national feast, you know, so forth, that even Jesus celebrated. Amen. So it was that Judah and his men climbed the mountain above Jerusalem and saw that there was no resistance. On the 25th day of Kislev, they marched into the holy city and immediately made their way to the belt, to Beit Hamashiach, I think that means the temple, where they saw a sight that left them shocked and angered. Idols, filth, impurity were everywhere. They rummaged through the ruins, seeking at least one flask of pure olive oil. See, man, we can't get overwhelmed with how ugly stuff looks. Just look for the oil. Look for one positive thing. If, you know what? Where sin does abound, grace does that much more abound. Amen? Praise the Lord. They rummaged through the ruins, seeking at least one flask of pure olive oil. I mean, man, they'd come all this way. They'd fought all these battles. Why quit now? Right? Amen. With which to light the makeshift menorah, they had the candlestick, right? They hastily had put together. Flask after flask they found, every one of them defiled. Finally, another miracle, one small jug, sufficient for one day, right? Remained with the seal of the temple intact. Quickly, with trembling hands, they poured it into the menorah and lit it. It would be 8 days before they could manufacture more oil for the next lighting. But meanwhile, they lit what they had. Amen. Boy, that jumped out at me when I read that this morning or last night. Man, even if it just looks like a little bit of oil, use what you got. Use what you have. Don't quit because it looks so big and ugly and all you've got is this little thing. Oh, no. When you give that little thing to Jesus, think about the little kid with the fish and the loaves, and Jesus took his little lunch and fed thousands with it. They could have quit. They could have got discouraged, but they decided, nope, we're gonna use what we got, even if it's just good for one day, right? And here it goes on. The flames of the menorah burned and 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 burned for 8 days. They burned. And he actually says burned and burned and burned for 8 days, 8 times, right? Those 8 miraculous days were chosen as the eternal symbol to commemorate the miracle of Hanukkah, the 8-day-long festival of lights, right? Where we light the menorah each evening, publicizing the miracle Hashem performed some 2,000 years ago. Amen? So somebody say, use what you got. It's not the time to quit. Even if it looks like it's all over, somebody say, I'm going to use what I got. I love The Natural, that movie with, what's the guy's name, the older actor? Redford, yeah. And he said he's been out of baseball for years, he's aging, and he tells the skipper, the manager, he says, you know what, I can't remember exactly how he says it, but he says, I don't know how much I got left, but I'm going to give you all I got. And I'll tell you what, that he became a star, and just a cool movie, you know, good story. But Jesus, if we just give Jesus what we got, man, turn the light on you have, he'll make it last and last and last and outlast. Somebody say, I'm going to outlast the devil, right? I'm going to outlast the issues in my life. Praise God. But this ties in directly to Luke chapter 1. I want to close with this today, I believe. Getting there. Somebody say, light it up. Pour the oil in and light it up. Thank you, Jesus. But just a marvelous story of God's faithfulness and victory and the determination of people of faith. I mean, that is a faith thing. To take one thing of oil, the only one they got, and use it. Them were faith people. I like faith people. Amen? I feel an attachment to faith people, right? Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." I was telling Shelly last night, I was like, honey, do you think Gabriel had some sales training? Because I'll tell you, he brought one side of the story. guess what, teenage girl? You're going to become pregnant, and no one's going to know how. Bad news. In today's society, that's rough. Back then, you could be killed for this. Right? You're going to conceive, and you're going to be pregnant, and you're not even married to anybody. I didn't ask your dad first. I didn't talk to Joseph. I'm just coming to you, teenage girl. Oh, Gabriel, man, Mr. Positive, right? This is going to be great, Mary. This is going to be great. You are highly favored. Really? It sounds more like a burden to me, right? It sounds more like my life is going to be on the line, right? Well, let's read on. Amen. Having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered the manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Somebody say, "Do not be afraid." I like that. There's good news there followed by a command, right? Because he knows her head's getting involved now. It's like, you know what? You have to choose. I'm not going to be afraid of this command, this opportunity. And this wasn't something that God forced on Mary. He gave her an opportunity that she accepted, which makes her, man, a patriarch of the faith, just like Moses, just like Abraham, just like Isaac, just like Jacob, just like Noah, Mary, right there. Right there. Moses brought the word down on tablets of stone. Mary brought the word with her body, bore the word in her body. I mean, special place in the hall of faith right there. Amen. Praise God. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And she could have thought, yeah, but what about Joseph? What about my dad? What about Uncle Bill? What about the priest? Right? Well, she will just keep on going here. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Now, see, the angel's just going right for all the positive stuff. Right? He's going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And Mary could have instantly said, yeah, but what about the next 9 months, Mr. Gabriel? What about how this is all going to look? Right? "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be?" Thank you, Mary. Right? "How can this be, Mr. Gabriel? Since I do not know a man." Hello? Everybody's going to know, Gabriel. "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power—'" There we go again. Back to the spirit stuff. I'm talking natural. He's talking spirit. But don't you know, stuff from the spirit can be received and conceived and birthed in the natural. And that's a glorious thing. Doesn't mean you're not going to need your faith involved, right? "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Praise, praise, praise the Lord. A couple more verses. "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." So see, thank you, Gabriel. He connected her with somebody on this planet that may understand what she's about to go through, right? Somebody say, "With God, nothing will be impossible," right? Nothing will be impossible. What seems impossible? Not with God. I don't care what it is. If you're believing for God for something that seems impossible, keep believing. Stay there. Stay in faith. Amen. But this word rejoice, highly favored one of God. Rejoice. Somebody say rejoice at the good news that God has given you. Take on the joy. That joy will out-endure, outlast even your own questions of it. Even your own unbelief will be go away with the joy, just receiving what God has told you. If God told you you're rich, what business have you got saying you're poor? What business have you got saying you're broke? What business have you got saying you don't got enough? No, you just say, nope, the word says I'm rich. That means, if I'm not mistaken, rich. And I'm sticking with Richie here. Amen. If God said you're healed, why spend another day saying this thing's probably going to kill me? It killed grandma. It killed so-and-so. No, you say I'm healed. I'm staying with health. Amen. Even if it doesn't make sense to your mind. For with God, nothing will be impossible, right? Amen. But that word highly favored, somebody say, I am highly favored of God, right? If you accept Jesus as Lord of your life, well, we need to read verse 38, actually. There's one more verse. Then Mary said, after all this, right? Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel, wouldn't you know, he said nothing. He just gone. Oh, great. Was there anything else, right? No. He out of there. He did his job. She, what did she do there? She believed it. She received it. She gave her permission, right? She said, yes, I will do this according to your word. And that's the attitude we have to have. If we're going to have this enduring joy, we're going to have to say, Lord, I'm going to live according to your word. But look at this highly favored thing, right? Favor means grace, acceptable, benefit. Don't you know there are many benefits? Read Psalm 103. It talks about a lot of the benefits of your salvation, right? Gifts, joy is in there. Endue with special honor. You have special honor from God.
Well, how come you got all that and we didn't get nothing? We all work at the same place. We were born in the same family.
Highly favored. Somebody say, highly favored. I love how Jerry Seville says, I know I'm God's favorite son. Right? And you can be too. You can be God's favorite son or daughter too. He's big enough that we all can be his favorite kid. Amen? Favor, endued with special honor, to be highly favored. Gifts, joy. You are accepted by the king. And we need to accept what the king has bestowed on you and be learning about what that is. He's not bestowing disease on people. Oh, yeah, but the more you suffer, the more you suffer, the more hardship and heartache you go through, the more you'll be like Jesus. No. He took that on himself. I've been redeemed from the curse. He's not putting the curse on me to make me more like Jesus. See, I love Keith Moore says this. He says, you need to know what Jesus did as your example, and you need to know what Jesus did as your replacement. Amen? If we're going to be like Jesus, then I guess we're never going to get married to anybody. Going to die at 33 years old. I mean, come on, right? That's not what it means, right? Jesus was the only one that could bear the curse on himself. And he did it in my place. And he did it for about 12 hours. He didn't live his life suffering and impoverished and sorrowful like some of the movies make it look, right? Where he's standing there, behold. And he looks like, you know, Spock face. And he talks really serious. No, Jesus is joy. I think of the Christmas song, Let Your Heart Be Light. Amen? We have to choose to be light. And I also like it also ties in the light. Walking in the light, staying in the light will keep your heart light. Not walking around carrying junk. Well, but I have to carry this junk. So-and-so died, and so I have to carry this junk for them. That's religion, right? You don't have any commitment to so-and-so. Thank God for their life. Oh, I forgot to visit so-and-so's grave. She would be so angry. So disappointed. Let them be. They're gone. Amen. Tell Jesus to give them a hug for you. Right? I do that a lot about my grandparents and others that have moved on. Lord, give grandpa a hug today for me. Tell him Merry Christmas for me. Jesus can give messages to people for you that are in heaven. Ask Christine why in the world she checked out so early. Just kidding. She, Christine, our dear friend, you know, Auntie Christine. She's, and you know, when we get there and see her, she's going to be rubbing it in that she's been there longer than us, right? So, praise the Lord, though. Heaven is a real place. You have loved ones that are in heaven. It's a real place, man, and they're feeling no pain. They're in perfect joy and peace with the Lord. They know where you're at. We know where they're at. Amen. So we let our hearts be light, walking in the light. Amen. But that favor of God, why are we believing for such a great life in Jesus? Because I am highly favored. I receive God's favor over my life. Just like Mary conceived Jesus, the word of God in her womb, you can conceive healing in your womb, your spiritual womb, and birth healing in your life. You can conceive prosperity, and I think of conceive, you know, the conception of birth, but also conceiving in your spirit, in your mind. Think about it. Meditate on it. Conceive. See what the word says to you about the thing you're believing for, and then don't let any, the Bible says, do not confer with flesh and blood. Once you see it in the word, it's between you and Jesus. And I love, somebody said this recently, and the Lord kind of dawned this on me, even your own flesh and blood. Right? Listen, right knee, where the ACL ruptured back in 1988, and you've been harassing me for, listen, Jesus has been around a lot longer than you. You are healed in the name of Jesus. Yeah, but you chose to go play football that day. You did that to yourself. You did that to yourself. Oh, guess what? It's not about what I did. It's about what this baby did that grew up. It became a man and took my knee to the cross. Right? And Jesus' knee is not swollen today. It is not full of pain and decay and arthritis. No. So I receive. See what we're doing? We're meditating on the word. We're conceiving what the word says in our spirit. And it will manifest in our lives. Praise the Lord, right? And that'll work in any area of our life. But we have to be word rats. Amen. We got to stay after it, right? Don't get off. Get on to the word. Amen. Stay with the word. You are highly favored. That's a great thing just to tell yourself every day. Look in the mirror. Good morning, favored one. See, God doesn't need to send Gabriel to you. He sent the Holy Ghost to you. That's even better. Way better, actually. And praise the Lord, I've never, to my knowledge, seen an angel. I got a couple times, maybe I think I might have. The Bible says we can entertain angels unaware, right? But I haven't had the experience. Like, we were on a vacation once at the coast, and there was this old impoverished guy there, and somebody said, maybe it's an angel. And I was like, hey, listen, if an angel can come as a poor boy, he could pull up in a Rolls too, amen, right? Come on, right? Amen. So, but God sent you the Holy Ghost to be on the inside of you, right? Why? Because you are highly favored. You've accepted Jesus, and the Holy Ghost is the most precious gift he could give besides Jesus himself, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then Jesus, and but the thing about that Luke chapter 1, did you know that according to history, and I've heard rabbis teach this, it came up today in Eagle Mountain's class, Jesus was very likely conceived during this Festival of Lights. When the angel came to Mary was during the Festival of Lights, the Hanukkah season. The light of the world, literally. Right? Isn't that interesting? And then he was birthed, it says, during the Feast of Tabernacles in September sometime. And that's symbolic that God's plan has always been to be with his people. Right? Isn't this amazing? So that ties in this stuff that we looked at with the light of the world and Hanukkah and God getting the victory over the enemy. He sent himself in the flesh during that season to fix it. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Jesus, right? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So when you're hanging up Christmas lights, plugging trees in, whatever, if you have a menorah, hallelujah, right? Just remember, you're celebrating that Jesus is the light of the world, the light on the inside of you. And finally, in these last few verses, then in your notes, then let his joy and favor shine on through. Shine on through anything that you might be facing, right? Because I'll tell you what, the light will shine out the darkness. I mean, there's no match, right? You turn a little bead of light on in a dark room and your eyes immediately go to that little bead of light, right? Well, just imagine the light of Jesus compared to whatever you're facing in your life. He's right there. Amen. But it says this in John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Praise the Lord. And in Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. Oh, man, that would throw a religious person. I thought Jesus was light of the world. Yeah, but he's on the inside of you, and that makes you the light of the world. Right? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And that's so cool about Jerusalem. Jerusalem is on a hill. Right? Amen. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Somebody say, don't hide the light. Don't be ashamed of the light. Right? Even that story of Rudolph brings new meaning to me. He's got a shiny red nose, and everybody mocks him, and they want to cover it up and hide it. Listen, let the light shine. It'll get you through the storm. Then one foggy Christmas Eve. Guess what? The world is walking through a mess, and they see that shiny red beacon coming up. Whoa! Hallelujah. What is that? I need some. Yes, you do, right? And his name is Jesus, right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you for this word today. We thank you that Jesus is the light of the world and you've made us the light of the world as well. We commit our lives to you today to serve you, to worship you, to follow you, to shine forth that light and point people to Jesus. Hallelujah. Just dedicate yourself to that today. Just say, Lord, I dedicate myself to you today. I receive your light in my life. Burn brightly, Jesus, in and through me. Stir me up, Holy Ghost, to receive everything that Jesus has accomplished for me. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory. Thank you, Lord, for that joy of the Lord that outlasts anything the enemy could ever try to do. I choose the joy today, the joy of our salvation, the joy of Jesus. In your name I pray. Somebody shout amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed, and Merry Christmas.